What you argue for, you always get to keep. Be careful what you argue for, but it gets better because what you argued for and stood for years ago is where you are today. Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about, and whatever you focus on grows, it expands. What you argue for. What is it that you stand up for? What is it that you fight for? Most people fight for a 9 to 5, 8 to 5, 40 hour a week with insurance and benefits. That's what they fight for. And that is what they get. So if we can get what we fight for, why don't we fight and die for more? If you could fight and if you could argue and get whatever it is you argue for, why do we settle for so little? Where does this need that we have to come to be taken care of, to be provided for? I've gotten to the point where I can't even watch the news anymore. I see these masses of people who want other people to do something for them. Give me, it's the most selfish shit I've ever seen. Excuse my French. As if somehow people are owed something. Where you are today is what you argued for 5, 10 years ago. It's what you stood for. It's what you told the world you wanted. Because what you think about comes about, and what you set your focus on grows. Now, along with that, if you don't think about anything, if you don't focus on anything, guess what you'll get? Nothing. You'll get what the world gives you. In my experience, that isn't always good. A mantra, a phrase that I've always told my son, is that what you fail to control will be controlled by someone else. Fail to control your time, you'll get fired. Or you won't get hired, or you won't get promoted. Fail to control your money, that's cool. I'd be happy to have it. Other people are lined up to get it. See, because other people are standing up right now arguing for your money. They're not only arguing, they're making plans. They're putting together business models, and the goal of their business model is to separate you from your money. And so they produce beautiful commercials. They create flyers and postcards and ads with the purpose of separating you from your money. Now, the goal of the science of getting rich is to help you get rich. And in order for you to get rich, you have to keep your money. And so we have to move from this idea of being a consumer to being a producer. It's people who own, who create, who develop, who preach, who sow into other people's lives that run and control this world. It's not the masses. It's not the people lined up saying, "What can you do for me? Can I have some benefits wrapped up in a nice little package?" Those people never change the world. The people who just want to get by, who just want a little bit more than they need, they don't change the world. Now that's okay. Not everyone here is on this planet to change the world. Some of us have lost the idea. We don't even believe we could change the world, and therefore you're right. I think it was Henry Ford. Was famous for saying that. If you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right. All of the early pioneers. You know the book Think and Grow Rich was written by Andrew Carnegie. And Carnegie had spent, Napoleon Hill. But Napoleon Hill had spent years with Andrew Carnegie. And that's where the idea of he claims the book came from Carnegie. Said, "Hey, I need you to write a book on for people, think and grow rich," that it all starts first with the mind. We all know this, but we give it lip service. What people don't get about the idea that things first start in the mind is this idea that, like the science of getting rich says, you have to hold it in the formless substance. You have to take the thought, hold it, think on it, the most laborious of all activities, and continuously roll it around in your mind. And to think on it from every possible angle. When you begin to do this, you stop doing dumb things. You stop going into pawn shops. You stop having bad credit. You stop doing activities that are stupid that separate you from your money. I recently had a follower, subscriber, said, Gerald, I don't like when you use phrases like dumb and stupid, especially when you're talking about things I'm doing. And I said, well, instead of not liking me, you could stop doing stupid things. See, just because you're doing them doesn't make it not stupid. It's stupid to borrow money at 17%. I don't care who you are. I don't care your situation. It's dumb. See, the quicker you acknowledge that, the sooner you... My point is to try to stop people from doing these things. Just one person. If one person could listen, read the book, say, hey, I get it. Maybe read my book, The Money Flow. Maybe dig into my book, The 24-Hour Cash Machine. Maybe read into my book on goals, setting and acquiring wealth. Maybe read the book, You Don't Have to Die Broke. And begin implementing and applying these things to your life. See, there's people listening to me right now. Hundreds of people listen every day. And you're broke. And I have strategies, philosophies, ideas that if you just took them and implemented them in your life would make your life better. But you don't want to argue for that, because sometimes people like to waddle in their drama and their pain. Babies love to sit in their own poop. Feels nice and warm. See, your problems feel warm. The other guy, he's really got problems. And so we waddle in it. We sit in our car payments and we justify it. And we sit in our ridiculous mortgages and we justify it, and we have all these little subscriptions, and we owe credit card companies, and we owe all these people money, and we sit around justifying why it's okay for us to take all of our money plus some and give it away to other people. And then when you say, hey, why don't you do this, they say, well, I can't do that because 5 years ago I argued for debt. 5 years ago, I stood up and said, damn it, I don't want to have money in 5 years, so I'm going to obligate it all now to debt. And now you're in debt. Because 5 years ago, that's what you wanted. Now, you didn't see it that way. But what you fight for, what you argue for, is what you get. You wanted a wife, you got married. You wanted children, you had them. You wanted to go to college, you went. All of the things that you wanted, you've gotten. What you think about comes about once you focus on grows. And we come to a point and we say, man, I wish I had more money. But you're not fighting for it. You're not arguing for it. Because the thoughts that you hold in the formless substance, that's what Science of Getting Rich teaches, those thoughts that you hold, the universe begins to conspire to make them happen. What you argue for, you get to keep, but it gets better. What you argued for and stood for years ago is where you are today. You may not understand the power of what I'm saying, the power of this message, this idea that what you're arguing for right now, today, what is it you're fighting for right now? Is there anything? I got a lot of battles going on. On one hand, I'm as blessed and happy as a man can be. On the other hand, I am pissed and at war. How can you be both content and uncontent at the same time? How can you want more and be completely satisfied? But I am. I have everything a man could ever want. I've been successful. Some would say, but if you ask me, I haven't done anything. I wake up every day thinking, my God, how can I live like this? Yet I have a beautiful home. I grew up in a trailer park in Arkansas. Not a double wide either, man, a single wide. The first part of my life raised by a single mom. Later, a savior came who became my stepfather, who changed our life. and at least got us where we could pay rent on time and eat consistently. And I saw the power of what it means to be a man and to care for and provide for your family. And I witnessed that in my stepfather, a man who I'm very grateful today, even to this day, I'm grateful, because I don't know how things would have turned out without his influence in my life. He's the one that taught me to argue for things. And one thing now my dad's a computer guy. We didn't play catch. We didn't do those kind of things. We didn't do outdoorsy things. But one thing he did tell me, and he used to tell me this all the time, Gerald, you can do anything you want to do in America and get paid. It could literally be ping pong. So when I came up with this idea that I was going to become a salesman, that I was going to promote network marketing, or I was going to launch my internet business, or I was going to get into real estate, or I was going to become super aggressive at investing in stocks. When I pursued these things, when I began to argue for these things, when I stood up for these things, in the back of my voice, in the back of my head is my dad's voice saying, Gerald, you could be great and make money at anything in America, even ping pong. In other words, what he was trying to convey to me is there's nothing too silly, nothing crazy. You don't have to follow the path that other people insist that you follow. And I've taken this message and I've given it to my son, and he's taken to it much earlier than I did. And as a 15-year-old, he makes sometimes thousands of dollars a month online, marketing and promoting. And I meet adults that the first line of resistance, the very first time something pushes back, they, oh, I gotta quit that, I can't do that. Of course you can't, you didn't argue for it. See, because if you were starting a home business or a side hustle or something you were doing, and you were serious about it and you were committed to it, damn it, you would start arguing for it and you begin making plans right now for when it would fall apart, because shit's going to happen to you. Things are going to happen. And you need to make a plan to prepare to protect this. You need to argue for your business. And yet most of us approach it like victims. This happened to me, that happened to me, the economy did this, stock market did this, you know, I lost everything in 2008. If I had a dollar for every time someone told me they lost all their money in 2008, which is actually impossible, you only lose money when you sell. You would have only lost money because you sold. Because I was there. I watched my $75,000 at the time that I had in the stock market go to 30. I watched it, and then I began to buy aggressively. I mean, to the tune of thousands of dollars a week. Anything I'd get my hands on, I was just pushing it into the stock market. Why? Because one of the wisest investors in the world said you should be greedy when other people are fearful, and fearful when other people are greedy. And I decided to fight and argue for that. And my family pushed back, said, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You shouldn't be doing it. Shut up. I'm pushing and I argue for this. And I stood up for it. And what you argue for and what you stand up for will come home to roost. And where you are today is because of that. Because of the arguments I had with my family, because of the pushback that I did, I am where I am. I didn't become a multimillionaire because of network marketing. But I did use network marketing to help me get there. Just like I used my job working at the prison to help me so that I could build my network marketing business, my internet advertising agency that I had for a while, 18 years. For 18 years, I did email marketing. Social media eventually put that business out of business, but it was a side business. And I argued for it. I would stay up late at night. I would spend weekends. I spent about 16 months making no money, spending my free time, putting money into the project. And then little checks started coming in. 16 months working on this website. While my friends were in college, I was working on a website called emailpaysyou.com. And I poured in, I don't know, $6,000-$7,000, spent 16 months trying to make it work. And finally, checks started coming in. $20, $50. Within 12 months after that, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. And what I was doing, the way I was making most of my money, is I was promoting affiliate programs and I was selling advertising to people in network marketing. And what I figured out in the gold rush, the guy making the money isn't the guy prospecting for gold, it's the guy selling tools to the prospectors. And so I began to sell leads. I began to promote and sell training, ebooks, online resources, anything that could help people do the business. I was the guy trying to sell it. Merchant. Selling the picks, the shovels, the tools to make the dreams come true. And I realized what the business was is what you argued for. And see, I argued for that website. You say, well, how did you argue? I put money in I didn't have. I used credit cards I shouldn't have used. I fought for it. All said and done, the website probably did $7-8 million in gross sales, employed 3 or 4 people at any given time for years, allowed me to generate profits. Wages are fine. Through several of these years, I held down a job. I worked at the prison. I did the website on the side. And then when the website got to $10,000 a month, it seemed a little silly going to a job that paid me two. But I didn't quit the job until I was making 5 times more on my side hustle. Now that I had one thing to do, the website, that's not enough. You always need 2, 3, 4, 5 income streams. So I began to launch other businesses. I began to take real estate extremely serious with the goal of acquiring 25 houses. My goal for each business was that each business and side hustle could pay all my bills. And as soon as they got to that level, I'd start another one. And I'd fight and I'd argue for these businesses. I created a mail order company called the Downline Building Network, again, to assist people involved in network marketing, because I knew that that business was about people. People helping people is about personal development. And I began to push content and products into that industry and began to say, hey, I have what you need. See, if you're involved in that, you need people. You need people. You need like-minded people. You need to take the business to people. If you're a farmer, you need people who eat what it is you produce, right? If you work on pools, clean pools, you need people with pools. And if you mow yards, people in condos aren't your customer. And I went into an industry. I just found an industry, found what they needed, and began to provide it. Not hunting for the gold. Selling the tools, the picks, and the shovels to the prospectors. Because here's one thing I know. Most people joining this industry aren't arguing for anything. They're selfish, only worried about themselves, maybe have a 2 or 3 month window. Maybe. A lot of them do a lot of talking, very little backing it up. A lot of talking, very little backing it up. So I got a short window. I got to sell to them in the first 2 or 3 months. So I just acknowledge that. I got to get you to buy this. And that was the game. And every once in a while within that game, one or two people will rise. See, because know this, you are 2, maybe 3 people away from not only a breakthrough, but an entirely new life experience. How do I know? Simple. Because there's a substance. It's talked about in The Science of Getting Rich. It calls it formless substance. Some people call it life force or God force that circulates and assembles more life in order for itself to live stronger and with more power. Some people refer to this idea that God works through people. Not for people, through people, to accomplish that which he wants. Now, you may be tagging along, and it happens to be what you want, but believe me, it's above your pay grade. And it will accomplish what he wants, and whatever vessel he can use. You could be that vessel or not. But we're all created and connected by this same energy. Concepts of deja vu, feel like you've been here before. We're all created from the same substance. You could deny that connection, but I'm telling you that what you think about comes about, and what you focus on grows. The moment you begin to focus on these things, the moment you begin to hold stuff in the formless substance, it begins to materialize. People you don't know, strangers come. The Bible talks about entertaining strangers that are angels, unaware that you don't even know who they are. This is why you're supposed to treat strangers. A lot of cultures, even in Islam, Buddhism, and other cultures say that sometimes And Christianity teaches the same thing. Sometimes the stranger that you're speaking with is actually God. You say, well, I don't believe in God. Okay, well, still a general rule to treat other people as you would like to be treated. I think we can all agree this is part of what, this is the fabric that holds society together. That we all mutually agree to follow the same rules. We don't kill strangers, right? That all of the money that we want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbooks of other people. In other words, if you live like a hermit, if you try to avoid people, if you're scared to talk on the phone, if you're trying to, you will be broke. Money's in other people's pockets. And all you have to do is offer them something that's of more value to them than the use value of their money. And if you do that enough, you get rich. So remember, you're only two, maybe three people away from a breakthrough. Two, three customers who refer their friends. Recruiting two or three people who will change your life. I look back over my company, the network, Downline Building Network, you know, over 100,000 people have come through. Three people come to mind who really, really helped me grow the business. And they're gone. They came and they went. But I'm still here because I continue to argue for it. And I assure you, the moment I stop fighting for it, the moment I stop arguing for it, it'll go away because nobody's fighting for it harder than me. Nobody's getting up every day to do it every single day. Same for you and your business. The moment you stop getting up, the moment you stop caring, that job's not yours. If you don't care now, you shouldn't be doing it anyway. So like I said, be mindful of what you argue for. Begin to document it. Write it down. Put it on a mirror. Put it on your refrigerator. I want to sell to 1,000 people. I want to recruit 1,000 people. I used to use this phrase, I'm only looking for 10,000 people. There's billions in the world. I only need 10,000. I only need 1,000 rabid fans. Such a small number.